What? Keith asked.
It is 33 trillion times more power than 12 terawatts, Galleon said.
Oh, sure, Keith said, rolling his eyes. Now I understand perfectly.
12 terawatts was humanity's power consumption in the year 1998, Galleon said.
The sphere is amazing, Maddox said dryly. But we'll consider its grandeur later. I'm more interested in the professor's pre-recorded message and the whereabouts of Hayes and his people.
Yes, Valerie said. I don't trust Ludendorff, sir. I think that message was meant to lure us here so he could lure you yet again down onto the sphere.
Either that, Keith said, or he gave the message under duress.
I very much doubt that, Valerie said.
I don't doubt the possibility of duress, Maddox said, but I find no evidence for it. The professor is cunning. He could have slipped hidden references into the recording for us if someone had forced him to make it. I did not hear any hidden warnings. If you're right, Keith said, I'd like to know how the professor went to such extreme lengths to lure us out here. Agreed, Maddox said. Let us consider this. The request began on Earth with the Shanghai androids and then the hollow image. It would appear the professor desperately desires my presence in the Dyson sphere. The extent of his efforts seem proportionally exaggerated.
What?
Keith asked.
Galleon, Maddox said, crisply, ignoring the ace. You will begin to search the outer spheroid surface. Concentrate on the equatorial region. If the professor desires me down there, he must have a particular entrance in mind.
You're not really going to give yourself into his hands, are you? Valerie asked.
Not as of yet, Maddox said. I appreciate my freedom too much. There is another consideration, however. If he has been this persistent, I doubt he will stop now. The more he tries, the more he reveals. I still need a few more revelations before I make my move.
You're matching wits against him, Keith said.
The ace grinned.
I like our chances, sir. This time, we're going to beat him and take him back to Earth as a proper prisoner.
Maddox nodded absently, continuing to study the Star Watch ships floating nearby.
We'll use the probe to explore each vessel, Maddox said. There is always the possibility the professor made a mistake somewhere. If so, we must find it.
He said it was in our interest that you go to the sphere, Galleon said.
Ludendorff did indeed say that.
You are in agreement with the lieutenant? Galleon asked. You do not trust the professor?
No, Maddox said. Not in the slightest.
Chapter 36. During the next few hours, Valerie guided the probe to each Star Watch vessel. She didn't find any more clues. It would seem that Professor Ludendorff hadn't made any mistakes. By the time she was done, the sphere's engines had stopped glowing and had retreated, so the giant hatches closed. Shortly thereafter, Captain Maddox re-entered the bridge. He had taken a catnap.
Nothing new to report, Valerie said.
A comm beam sounded from her board just then. She glanced at Maddox before turning to it. A second later, she regarded the captain.
Sir, someone from the sphere is hailing us.
Put him or her on the main screen, Maddox said.
Yes, sir,
Valerie said, hesitantly tapping her board. Maddox, Valerie, Keith, and Galleon all turned toward the main screen. A smiling Ludendorff appeared. He sat in a room with windows. Behind him were giant ferns. Far beyond the ferns shined the system's englobed star.
Captain Maddox, Ludendorff said, how good to see you again.
Yes, Maddox said. Galleon, he said under his breath.
Is that the real Ludendorff?
Analyzing,
the AI said.
I'm sure you're wondering about all the cloak and dagger, Ludendorff said. I can assure you it's for a good reason, a splendid reason, in fact.
Excellent, Maddox said. If you would, please, enlighten us, then.
Oh, my boy, not by transmission, Ludendorff said. You'll need to come onto the Dyson sphere first, as my recording suggested. It's also best if you come alone.
Ah, Maddox said.
Don't you find the sphere amazing?
Ludendorff asked. I do, Maddox said. Before we speak further, I should let you know that I'm not entering the sphere. Ludendorff blinked several times as the smile slipped. Then the smile appeared again in full force.
That's a poor joke, Captain. Of course you're coming. You must. It...
Yes? Maddox asked.
It is required,
Ludendorff added.
You are addressing an android, Galleon said quietly. It is a very good replica of the professor, but I finally concentrated on the pupils. From time to time, I can see through to the circuitry working back there.
Suppose I decline your offer, Maddox asked the android.
Surely you're curious about the sphere,
the Ludendorff android said. Quite curious, Maddox said. But not so much that I wish for my non-existence.
I do not understand the relation.
It's elementary, Maddox said. By entering the sphere, I could lose my life.
No, Captain, I can assure you that is not the case, at least not immediately.
The android's grin widened.
I know that didn't sound right. It was not a threat. I merely mean that all organisms die in time.
On the Dyson sphere, Maddox said. Is that what you're saying? The android blinked repeatedly.
I must insist you come. But since you have declined to come alone, now I ask that your entire crew join me. You will all love it in the Dyson sphere.
Quite possibly true, Maddox said diplomatically. By the way, where are Port Admiral Hayes and his crews?
Oh,
the android said.
Do not worry about them.
I am a Star Watch officer, Maddox said. It is my duty to worry about them. In fact, I am quite willing to take military action to free them. Perhaps it is time I turned Victory's disruptor beam on the sphere.
Captain, are you seriously threatening me?
Who are you? Maddox asked.
Why, I am Ludendorff. That was a strange question.
That is a lie, Maddox said. You are not Ludendorff. You are an android made in his image. The construct blinked more than before. Worse, Maddox said. You're an inferior android. Why is that?
Captain, please. This is such a glorious moment. I have long anticipated it. You must come down and let me see you in the flesh. I have read such wonderful reports about you. But I cannot fathom the reason for your continued success against your superior enemies. Those successes are quite marvelous and unusual. I wish to know the reasons behind them.
I'm afraid,
Captain, Galleon said. Powerful tractor beams have locked onto the starship. We are being pulled toward a vast opening.
Magnify, Maddox said.
The Ludendorff android disappeared from the screen. In its place appeared a huge hatch, ponderously opening on the outer surface of the sphere.
Can Victory fit through that hatch? Maddox asked.
Affirmative, Galleon said.
At the rate we're being pulled, how long until we reach the... Maddox waved a hand. The Dyson hangar bay.
Before Galleon could answer, Keith asked,
Do you want me to try to break free of the tractor beam, sir?
That will not work, Galleon said. The force of the contest will destroy the ship.
Let's jump free then, Keith said.
Maddox considered the idea.
I'm afraid the decision has just been taken out of our hands, Galleon said. My special jump mechanisms have just gone offline. Something from the Dyson sphere is interfering with my systems.
Is it a builder virus? Maddox asked.
Captain, Galleon said, I have detected an alien presence. It is attempting to take over my personality. The only way I can protect myself is to shut down completely. Do you swear to turn me back on when you're able?
You know I do, Galleon, Maddox said. The hollow image glanced at each of them in turn. Then it appeared beside each of them, doing so in the blink of an eye. A ropey, hollow arm reached out, attempting to touch each of them. Afterward, the hollow image wavered, and disappeared. The screen came back on with the Ludendorff android smiling benignly.
"What just happened, Captain?"
the android asked.
"Why did the comlink separate?"
Maddox moved to the command chair, sitting down. "You're bringing my starship into a hangar bay. That means you have what you want. Why continue with this charade, then? Show us who you really are and tell us what you want with us."
"I don't want anything from your crew,"
the android said.
"It's you alone who interests me, Captain."
"Why?"
"You will find out soon enough, once you reach my main chamber. I'm sure it will interest you. Even more, you will enlighten me. I am looking forward to the encounter."
"Star Watch needs me," Maddox said. "And it needs victory."
"Yes, both statements are true."
"Therefore, it is a crime to do this to us."
"No,"
the android said, as if speaking to a child.
"Star Watch cannot win in the end. They are overmatched. Thus, I am showing you a kindness. Perhaps it is kind to let them perish faster. I hate to see creatures suffer unnecessarily. With victory helping Star Watch, it will only prolong the agony."
Maddox's thoughts moved at lightning speed. They had been for some time. "Are you a builder?" he asked. The android smiled cryptically.
"Come to my chamber, Captain. I will explain everything there. Until then, you will have to wait for your answers."
"Where is Professor Ludendorff?" Maddox asked.
"I am he."
"Ludendorff has always been an android?" The android blinked some more, and finally stared in a frozen manner.
"You broke him, sir," Keith said.
"You asked him one too many questions."
"No," Maddox said, studying the unmoving android. "This is a deception, although I can't fathom a reason for it." For a time, no one spoke. Valerie kept working her controls. She spun around with anxiety in her eyes.
"What are we going to do, sir? We can't go down there. We have to do something to break free."
"Yes," Maddox said. "Something is exactly what I plan to do." Chapter 37
"Sir," Valerie said, "you have to let us come."
"No," Maddox said. "That's what the thing wants. Meta, Riker, and I will move fast."
"Keith and I can't keep up with the sergeant?"
Valerie asked. "I want you to guard the ship," Maddox said. "That is an order. I plan to find a way to free Victory from this insane confinement. Once we do, I want the ship ready to race away."
"Galleon couldn't find a way, sir," Valerie said. "And he's 10 times smarter than any of us. How are you, on foot, going to do better?"
Maddox recognized her fear. Separating was difficult, and waiting was always hard. As captain, he had to bolster his crew's morale. "Lieutenant, perhaps you don't remember the story about a young woman caught in a dire situation. She grew up with nothing, in the worst welfare island on the North American continent. Instead of admitting defeat, she fought every day of her life, scratching her way to a coveted spot in the Space Academy. I doubt she knew the answer at the beginning of her struggle, but she tried just the same." Valerie looked away, soon saying,
"I hate when you do that, sir."
"Noted," he said. She nodded.
"Do you have any idea how long you'll be away?"
"No idea," Maddox said, "although I plan to return within 3 days. The lieutenant regarded him, nodding once more.
"Supposing you don't show up in 3 days, how long do you want us to stay aboard the ship?"
"A month," Maddox said.
"You could all be dead by that time."
"We are Star Watch officers," Maddox said. "We each have our duties. You are primarily a ship officer. Meta and Riker are hand-to-hand specialists. According to what we saw in the last transmission, there is plant life here. This could be like Loki Prime."
"Okay,"
Valerie said. But after a month, Keith and I are going to rescue you, sir.
That's good to know.
Good luck, sir.
Thank you.
Impulsively, Valerie stepped forward and hugged him. Maddox stiffened, finally patting her on the back. She hugged Meta and Riker afterward. Keith stepped forward, shaking the captain's hand.
Good luck, sir,
Keith said.
To you as well,
Maddox told him, refusing to believe this might be the last time he saw either officer. Somehow, he was going to free his ship and people. After Keith hugged Meta and shook Riker's hand, Maddox led the way toward the hangar bay's outer hatch. Valerie and Keith retreated into the ship proper.
I hope you know what you're doing, sir,
Riker said.
Maddox did too, having prepared the best he could. He, like Meta and Riker, wore an EVA suit with a breather and recyclers. The sphere had air. The recyclers purified it for their use. He also shouldered a Kislak 370 rifle, kept a gun with a suppressor in a holster, and carried food, water, survival equipment, and extra ammo in a backpack. The helmets used short speakers, so they wouldn't give anything away to eavesdroppers when they communicated with each other. Meta and Riker were equally weighed down with suit, supplies, and weapons. The outer bay hatch began to rise, stopping after it was several meters off the deck. Outside was a vast, cavernous hall, big enough so Victory could have sailed down it. Almost as surprising, lights shined down from the ceiling.
This place is crazy, Meta said.
You stole my words, the sergeant said.
The starship was never built to rest in a 1G environment, Meta added.
Maddox kept his thoughts to himself. The tractor beams had guided the starship into the vast bay. Afterward, gigantic doors had closed. Later, cyclers had pumped an Earth-like atmosphere around the ancient ad-hoc vessel. According to the sensors, 1G pulled at the ship's structure. They were in the Dyson sphere by several hundred meters. Did that mean they were trapped here forever? Why hadn't the intelligence that ran the sphere pulled in the Port Admiral's warships as well? It was a mystery, one Maddox planned to solve. Meta attached magnetic clamps to the deck and uncoiled a long rope ladder. She swung her legs over the edge and began to climb down.
Do you even have a plan? Riker asked the captain.
I do, Maddox said.
Care to let the rest of us in on it, sir?
Not at all, the captain said. I plan to defeat the intelligence holding us prisoner.
Oh, is that all?
No, I envision it giving us reasons for its actions. I will also search for super weapons to help us in the war against the new men once we return to human space.
Riker stared at the captain.
Oh, well, he said weakly. Then, by all means, let us begin. I can hardly wait. This is an adventure, is it, sir?
No, Sergeant. It is an intelligence mission, one I aim to win.
With that, Maddox went to the ladder, beginning his descent from the starship onto the Dyson sphere. From the floor, Maddox looked up at Victory, impressed as ever by the ship's size. The only trouble here was that the sphere made it seem like a flea-carrying vessel.
Do you notice that? Meta asked, pointing at the nearest oval section of the ship.
Maddox did indeed. Most of the ancient vessel rested on magnetic holders. Two things impressed him about the holders, that they could carry the starship's weight, and that they seemed to have been designed for this very craft.
What do the stanchions suggest to you?
Meta asked.
Maddox thought about it. That whoever pulled us in knows our ship's specifications.
The three of them studied the starship and the giant clamps holding the underside of the vessel. The hum of the magnetics was audible from their spot on the hangar's deck.
I can't get a grip on the size of this place, Meta said. It's baffling to me. I don't understand how anyone could build a sphere around a star, particularly one an AU in radius.
It is daunting, Maddox admitted.
How long do you think it took them to build it?
Maddox finally detected the strain in her voice. It was one thing to talk about exploring the sphere, another to be out here at the beginning of the quest in this vast structure. He stepped closer, putting an arm around Meta's shoulder. He squeezed her against him until she turned her helmet to look in his eyes.
"I hope to discover the answer soon," Maddox said.
Riker cleared his throat.
"Am I the only one, or did the rest of you think someone was going to be here to show us the way to Professor Ludendorff?"
"That did seem implied," Maddox said as he released Meta.
"How long are we going to wait for them to show up?"
Riker asked. Maddox shook his head. He wasn't sure.
"Where would you propose we go if we just went on our own?" Meta asked the sergeant.
Riker pointed into the mammoth hall.
"That way seems wisest. It's toward the inner surface. I'd like to see what a Dyson sphere looks like on the inside."
This failure of an escort fits with the rest of the star system, at least what we've seen so far, Maddox said. A lone saucer ship attacked us after we exited the hyperspatial tube. Port Admiral Hayes's flotilla drifted aimlessly near the outer sphere. There was no space traffic here, nothing to suggest a lively community. Instead, the system feels maybe not deserted, but certainly empty.
And old, Meta said, as if this was built a long time ago.
That's why no one is here to greet us?
Riker asked. Maddox pursed his lips, scanning the cavernous chamber. They were less than mice in a house, more like fleas traveling through a giant's castle. The sheer volume of this hall weighed against his spirit. It would be better to do something than wilt here at the edge of the Dyson sphere. Action was the cure. So thinking, Maddox slid the Kislak's carrying strap over his EVA-suited shoulder.
"Let's get started then, shall we? I've decided I like your idea, Sergeant. It's time to see the sphere's interior surface."
They walked for an hour with lights shining down on them the entire time. The vast hall was empty, devoid of machines or any living beings. They moved along the center in case something, anything, should use an unnoticed hatch to charge them. The longer they traveled, the more it felt as if unknown space gods had built the giant edifice. Maddox stopped, looking back the way they had come. They had lost sight of victory some time ago. He scanned all around. This place was like a cathedral built to worship size, hoping to diminish a being's spirit by showing its insignificance.
"Why haven't they tried to contact us by comm?" Riker asked.
Maddox shrugged.
"Maybe the better question is why they've refused our calls," Meta said.
"I watched the playback of your conversation with the sphere's android, sir," Riker said. "The android seemed eager to speak with you face to face. This absence seems suspicious."
Maddox couldn't see what to do differently, so he began walking again. Time passed as they traveled. After a while, the monotony made the halls seem timeless, their efforts useless. Nothing ever changed.
"I've read about the Dyson spheres before," Meta said. "I always thought the outer layer would be rather thin. This layer strikes me as extremely thick."
"Isn't that relative?" Riker asked.
"To what?"
Meta asked.
"That we're tiny compared to the sphere," the sergeant said. "I imagine an ant thinks my garden back home is enormous. We're the ants here."
Maddox slid the rifle strap from his shoulder. Both Meta and Riker noticed. She drew a thick-barreled gun. Riker drew two regulation-sized pistols. The captain aimed the rifle down the hall, pressing the stock against his shoulder as he peered through the scope.
"What is it, sir?"
Riker whispered.
"I see a body,"
Maddox said, as he continued to peer through the scope.
"Is it dead or alive?"
"I judge it dead," Maddox said, as the pieces are spread on the floor. "What's interesting is I see wires, struts, and resistors."
"A dead android," Meta whispered.
"Who destroyed it?"
Riker wondered aloud.
"Exactly," the captain said. "The reason no one met us,
could be lying out there. With the scope, he scanned around the scattered pieces and then beyond. Abruptly, he lowered the rifle. "Let us proceed with caution, as it seems there are factions within the sphere willing to fight for their beliefs, one of which is non-communication with us." 10 minutes later, they neared the scattered pieces. There were wires, struts, rotators, resistors, and clots of dark matter on the floor. Meta knelt by the first dark clot. With a metal pin, she shoved into the substance.
"It's blood," she said.
Riker took several steps forward, towing something.
"This is hair," he said, pointing at it with a gun. "Whoever did this loves androids as much as we do."
"If this was an old kill," Meta said, "the blood would have crusted a long time ago. This happened recently."
As before, Maddox slid the rifle off his shoulder, using the scope to scan ahead. He saw nothing else unusual.
"We keep going," he said.
They left the destroyed android behind, possibly the one who had spoken to them only a short time ago. 15 minutes later, a loud clang sounded from ahead. The floor quivered under their feet.
"That's wonderful," Riker said.
Before he could say more, alien-sounding squeals caused the sergeant to snap his teeth together. Meta frowned as she glanced at Maddox. The captain gripped his rifle. From ahead came more clangs and squeals, and then a loud and long whooshing sound. The squeals became higher pitched, filled with pain and rage.
"We should retreat back to the ship," Riker said.
"Go ahead," Maddox told him as he began to stride toward the noise.
"Are you crazy, sir?" Riker shouted.
Maddox began to run toward the sounds as they intensified. He wanted to see what was going on around the bend. Chapter 38. Maddox skidded to a halt. The others raced to catch up. What the captain saw in the distance caused a cold feeling to crawl up his neck. Swiftly, he raised the Kislak and peered through the scope. The sight confirmed his worst fear. He had seen ancient exoskeletons of swarm creatures before. 6,000 years ago, the swarm had attacked Victory in its home system. When he and the others had boarded the starship several years ago, it had been full of crusted slime and well-preserved exoskeletons of swarm boarders. The red-colored beasts scampering away from a metal humanoid construct struck him as creatures of the swarm. They were around the size of a medium-sized dog and had hardened exoskeletons like beetles, but with whippy scorpion tails. They also had brakes, legs after a fashion, 6 of them. 4 helped them run. The last 2 could have acted like pincers. The metal humanoid thing was huge and heavy, maybe 100 tons in weight. It had 2 legs that clanged with each step. A tube sprouted from its chest. The edges of the orifice were blackened with what seemed like soot. As Maddox watched, a long tongue of liquid fire arched from the tube and licked among the fleeing swarm creatures. Some curled immediately and began to crisp with wisps of black smoke, giving some idea of the fire's heat. Others threw back their ugly heads and squealed in agony. Several spun around, charging the metal thing. Individual rays from the construct's fists fried the attacking beasts. The stench of the burning creatures finally reached Maddox through his EVA suit. It reeked horribly. Meta reached him, panting and groaning in complaint at the noisome smell.
"Bugs," Maddox said.
"What do you mean, bugs?" she panted.
"Swarm creatures."
"Oh, no," she whispered, her eyes becoming wide. "They're not extinct?"
"Apparently not," Maddox said. "And they're on the Dyson sphere with us."
"At least they have an enemy," she said.
Riker finally stumbled up with phlegm rattling in his throat.
"What is that thing out there?"
"An excellent question," Maddox said. He'd lowered the rifle. Now he raised it again to look through the scope. The construct, it appeared to be twice the height of a man, finished slaughtering the red creatures.
"What's it doing?" Riker said, his voice rising. "Is it headed here?"
"Yes," Maddox said.
Is it coming to kill us? The sergeant asked. I imagine we will find out soon enough, Maddox said. He lowered the rifle.
We have to run,
an exhausted Riker said. Do you have a reasonable destination in mind? Maddox asked. Riker stared at him.
Captain, this...
The older man turned toward the construct.
That thing moves bloody fast when it wants to.
Let us hope it knows the Ludendorff android welcomed us onto the sphere, Maddox said. Otherwise, the captain watched the approaching construct, feeling the floor vibrate each time one of its metal feet struck the deck. Maddox stood in front of the others as he studied the approaching construct. It was an alien humanoid design with squatty legs, a long torso, and a box-like head. The sooty flamethrower had retreated into its chest cavity. The thing lacked a neck, although the box head could rotate back and forth. In place of a face, it had a screen. The screen now activated, and the Ludendorff android from earlier regarded them with the sun still shining behind it.
I'm glad to see you haven't come to any harm, the android said.
Were those swarm creatures? Maddox asked.
Think of them as vermin,
the android said with a wave of its hand.
It's more suitable.
That fails to answer the question.
Come now, Captain, the android said. That is a surly attitude. The sweeper saved you from death. You should rejoice.
If you hadn't dragged us into the sphere, we wouldn't have needed saving, Maddox said.
Logically reasoned, but still rather sullen, my boy,
the android said.
This is the revelation of a lifetime. I am willing to give you all the answers you want. Surely you must recognize the importance of the event.
You have suggested before that I will be unable to inform Star Watch about these revelations.
Does that matter?
I am a Star Watch intelligence officer, Maddox said. It matters a great deal.
Bah! I should leave you to the vermin. But,
the android said, brightening,
I won't do that, as much as your ingratitude warrants it. You will follow the sweeper. It will bring you to a transport tube in less than an hour. Well, you shall see, my dear boy. You shall see indeed.
The construct turned around, ready to head the way it had come. Just a minute, Maddox said. Did the vermin destroy the android that would have met us? The construct faced them again.
The vermin made a rare entrance into the substructure, the android said on the face screen. It won't happen again, I assure you.
And if it does? Maddox asked.
I have no more time for idle chit-chat. You must hurry to me. I've waited far too long for this meeting. I wish to expedite it.
Because more vermin are on their way here? Asked Maddox. On the screen, the android leaned toward him.
Would you like to face the vermin on your own, Captain?
Maddox had seen their numbers earlier. He doubted the three of them had enough bullets to destroy all the red creatures. We're ready to go, the captain said.
Wonderful,
the android said. The construct turned deeper into the hall and took a step in that direction. Car-sized incinerator vehicles were busy burning the exoskeletons by the time Maddox and the others reached the battle site the captain had witnessed through the scope. Do you mind if we stop a moment? Maddox asked.
I do indeed mind,
the Ludendorff android said from the construct's face screen. Maddox eyed a dead creature as he walked past. It was bigger than some of the others, with greasy-looking muscles attached to the outer exoskeleton. The brain case was small. It did not seem like an intelligent creature. Were they swarm life or merely a lower-order species from the swarm homeworld? Where did the swarm originate? Maddox asked the android.
Not from anywhere in the Orion Arm,
the android answered. Is that the extent of your knowledge?
That's all I'm going to tell you for now. I'm sure you understand the carrot and stick principle.
Perfectly.
For now, I'm employing the carrot. Would you like me to start using a stick?
Lead on, Maddox said.
Right,
the android said. The three of them followed the construct, leaving the crisped corpses and incinerator vehicles behind.
Why didn't we ask if we could ride one of those? Riker whispered to Maddox. My feet are killing me.
I prefer to remain a free agent as long as possible,
Maddox whispered back. He became thoughtful.
How did the creatures enter this area?
He asked the other two.
There must be side entrances. Keep your eyes open for them.
As if he had heard their whispered conversation, and perhaps he had, the android in the face screen said,
We're almost to the transfer tube.
Captain,
Riker said urgently as the sergeant grabbed Maddox's left sleeve. Maddox saw hatches open in the far wall parallel with them. Out of the hatches poured more red creatures. They scampered fast, with their whippy tails high in the air. Behind followed bigger creatures of exoskeleton form, but a different shape. They moved slower than the small ones. Their locomotion was different, too. Instead of four legs, they had 50 or more centipede-like appendages. Those moved fast, in a revolting manner, almost making it seem as if the bigger, taller creatures rolled along on the floor.
Stay where you are,
the android said from the face screen.
This will take but a few moments' work.
The metal construct began to run at the charging creatures, the clangs causing the floor to vibrate more than earlier.
What now, sir?
Riker asked.
Those look like more creatures than the robot can handle.
Agreed, Maddox said. We run for the other wall. Maybe a closer inspection will show us hatches we can use.
And if the creatures are driving us there, sir?
Riker asked. We'll find out soon enough, Maddox said. Start running. I'll catch up with you.
No,
Meta said.
Do as he says, Riker told her, grabbing an arm, yanking her along. The captain can outrun either of us any day. He means to act as a rear guard to give us time.
Meta gave Maddox a searching look. He nodded. Then she ran with Riker for the opposite wall. Maddox followed them by walking backward, keeping his eye on the battle. He estimated hundreds of the smaller creatures, maybe half as many of the bigger ones. The construct's chest tube appeared. A liquid arch of flame crossed the distance, burning smaller creatures. They squealed like stuck pigs, a vicious, evil sound. None of the creatures slowed their advance, however. They all surged toward the construct. The alien robot beamed one of the bigger ones with a fist ray. Maddox found it interesting that the creature didn't drop right away. It took several seconds of beaming before the outer exo-armor began to smoke. Finally, the creature hissed and began to thrash on the floor. Maddox looked behind him. Riker and Meta were a third of the way to the wall. He faced forward again. The little creatures charged the construct. More died to its flames. A few charred ones reached it. The metal thing began to stomp on those, squishing them so black gunk jetted in the air. That was interesting. They concentrated on the construct as if they could defeat it. Their means escaped the captain. A shrill squeal sounded. It was different from anything he'd heard so far. It came from the back of the attacking horde. It seemed to come from a slower black creature. Was that the smart one directing the others? A few of the surviving scampers ran past the construct after Maddox. The vile creatures squealed with delight. Maddox looked back. Meta and Riker were closer to the wall. Kneeling, Maddox raised the Kislak. He used the scope, targeting a small head. He squeezed the trigger. The stock pushed against his shoulder as the bullet cracked. The 370 grain exploded the head of a charging creature. The carcass lost motive energy, skidding across the floor. Maddox switched targets and killed the next one. When he lowered the rifle, Maddox noticed a strange pause in the battle. The construct and the swarm creatures had all stopped to stare at him. It was an unwelcome feeling.
Do not go that way, the android shouted. Keep going up the hall. I'll stop them and guide you to the transfer point.
Before Maddox could shout a reply, a horde of creatures charged the construct anew. As the larger ones neared the metal humanoid, they spat black globs of substance. Some of those globs struck the construct. Immediately, a chemical reaction took place, as the black gunk boiled away metal like acid, producing a stench like ancient rust.
Run up the hall!
the android shouted. Don't use the side hatches! Maddox spun around, sprinting as fast as he could go toward Meta and Riker.
There are hatches, the captain shouted. Use them!
Neither Meta nor Riker turned back toward him. They had almost reached the other side of the hall. As Maddox sprinted like a greyhound, he noticed outline images that hadn't been visible while they traveled in the center of the corridor. Those looked like hatches. Why didn't the android want them to use the doors? Would they lead to even more swarm creatures, or would they find something that the android didn't want them to see? As Maddox covered the distance, Meta reached a hatch. She felt along it and finally tried something. The hatch slid up into darkness. Maddox looked back. The construct flamed creatures as rusty-smelling smoke rose from it. Other creatures swept past the metal thing, coming for Maddox and his people. He faced forward once more, straining to reach his comrades as they darted through a dark hatch. Chapter 39 Maddox reached the others in the darkness. The corridor was like a normal starship's hallway, perhaps a little bigger.
This must be a service hall, Riker said.
Maddox soon led them using a light on the EVA helmet. Much too soon from behind came crawling, scratchy sounds.
Why doesn't the android gas them? Meta panted. Surely it can track the creatures. Couldn't the android simply seal the area and pump out the air?
Maddox moved at a half trot, concentrating, afraid of running into a wall or some other object that might tear the suit, or worse.
They're gaining on us, Riker said shortly.
Right, Maddox said, coming to a halt.
Get behind me.
No,
Meta said.
Keep running until they're almost on us. Then we'll all fight together.
Maddox hadn't told them about the acid-spitting creatures, as he didn't want to demoralize them.
Do as I say, he told Meta sternly. We're not a debating society, but a military organization.
Now you listen to me,
Meta said. Riker grabbed an arm. She shook it off.
We're about to die. I'm not going to—
We're not about to die, Maddox said, almost sounding angry. He strode past Meta, shoving her behind him. Then the captain bent on one knee and raised the rifle. He switched it to infrared sighting. The last several hundred meters had been in a straight line. He saw the little scampers coming as red blobs.
Keep going, he said. I'll catch up.
Maddox,
Meta,
he said with more emotion than he cared to use.
Just do as I say.
A flash from the barrel and a loud boom heralded a squeal of pain farther down the corridor. No one could see it in the darkness, but Maddox grinned fiercely. From his firing position, he began to methodically kill the smaller, faster creatures. Several took two shots. None, so far, took three. Maddox used several magazines to stop them and temporarily clogged the corridor with their piled bodies. The captain rose, shouldering the Kislak. He loved the rifle. There was none better for long-ranged work. With the helmet lamp, he hurried after the others, soon reaching them.
Are any left?
Meta asked.
Yes, but it won't take long for them to remove the dead.
Soon Maddox listened to the sound of his labored breathing. They kept hurrying through the corridors, always going right when they had to make a choice. The sergeant began to limp, slowing their rate of advance. Maddox finally grabbed the man's biological arm, putting it over his shoulder. He helped the sergeant move faster. Too soon, the captain heard the scrape of claws on metal. The surviving creatures were closing again. Maddox removed the sergeant's arm from his shoulder, spun around, dropped to one knee, and raised the rifle. He was getting low on ammo, not having expected hordes of creatures to trail them. Tight-faced, the captain began to fire. The bigger ones took three bullets to kill, never more and never less. He checked. He had three bullets left. With extreme deliberation, Maddox fired, killing another of the big ones. That left just two more. Setting the rifle on the floor, Maddox drew the suppressed pistol. He gripped it two-handed and fired shot after shot, putting down the final two swarm creatures. It surprised Maddox to find his hands shook as he holstered the pistol. He wasn't that tired. Did he feel relief? Yes, it would appear so. He picked up the Kislak. Silently, he berated himself for having put the remaining ammo so deep in his backpack. With a growing sense of relief, he jogged after the others.
They had stopped to wait for him, which made him angry. "You were supposed to keep going," Maddox said.
"Sir," Riker said, "can't you see?"
Maddox shined his light around the sergeant. Ah, he did see. The two of them had found a hatch.
"We've been waiting for you," Riker said. "Are you ready?"
"Open it," Maddox said. Riker grabbed a lever with his bionic arm. Slowly, he moved the handle. It creaked with age until something clicked in the hatch. The captain drew his gun. Meta aimed hers. Riker pulled. Dirt spilled into the corridor, as did hurtful sunlight. Immediately, the faceplates of their EVA helmets darkened.
"Have we reached the interior surface?"
Meta asked in a hush. Maddox stepped forward to the hatch. There were stairs leading up, with dirt on most of the steps. Some of them had moss and lichen growths.
"Watch your step," the captain said.
He led the way with his suppressed pistol ready. The steps twisted around and went steeply up. Soon Maddox reached the top, his helmet passing it. He spied tall ferns growing around the opening, with a shattered and torn-off cover lying nearby. Climbing higher still, he stepped on the surrounding soil. Something crunched and crackled underfoot. With a boot, he kicked away dirt, revealing yellowed bones. He looked around. Ferns grew everywhere, the biggest ones twice his height. It felt like the Jurassic Age of Earth. Craning his neck, he looked up at the sun, the star. They were definitely inside the Dyson Sphere. It gave him a strange feeling.
"Should we mark the exit?" Meta asked.
Maddox shook his head. "I'll remember the way." Meta cocked her head.
"He's telling the truth," Riker said. "Once the captain has gone somewhere, he can always find his way back. It's uncanny, but useful. But I'm surprised he didn't know that by now."
Meta knelt by the bones, fingering them.
"This is interesting, don't you think?"
"They're bones," Riker said with a shrug.
"Exactly,"
Meta said. Maddox turned sharply, staring at her.
"What am I missing?" Riker asked.
"They're bones," Maddox said. "Not exoskeleton shells."
"Are those human bones?" Riker asked.
"Maybe,"
Meta said.
"Are they the Port Admiral's bones?"
the sergeant asked. Meta squeezed the bone in her hand, crumpling it.
"I doubt that. These seem very old and brittle."
Maddox nodded thoughtfully. Soon he walked several steps away, shrugged off his pack, and let it hit the soil. Resting on one knee, he opened the pack and extracted extra 370 ammunition. He reloaded the empty magazines.
"The air is breathable," Meta said.
She held an analyzer, tapping it.
"The air could hold dangerous substances we can't recognize as yet," Riker said.
"One of us should take off his helmet," Meta said. "If he's fine after a time, we can all do likewise."
"Or take off her helmet," Riker said.
"No one is taking off his helmet yet," Maddox said. "It's far too early for that."
"What do you suggest, sir?" Riker asked.
"We'll eat," Maddox said. "Rest for a while and take a look around. The android didn't want us to go this way. I'd like to know why. If we can't figure it out soon enough, we'll backtrack. The Port Admiral is missing and this place has Victory. We have to free them both as soon as possible." They sipped from concentrate tubes in their helmets. Then they settled back for 10 minutes. Afterward, Maddox rose to his feet.
"Do you feel better?"
"No," Riker said.
"You've let me rest just long enough for my muscles to tighten up."
"Well, this is better than Loki Prime," Maddox said. Neither Riker nor Meta replied to that.
"Right," Maddox said.
"Let's go that way." He pointed in a direction that might have been east.
"Why that way?" Riker asked.
"Today," Maddox said, "one direction is just as good as another." They marched through a forest of ferns with the sun heating their EVA suits. At first, they went uphill, then down for a kilometer, and then even more sharply up.
Maybe the entire Dyson sphere is filled with ferns,
Riker complained.
The swarm creatures imply otherwise,
Maddox said.
What about that, sir? Riker asked. Were those really swarm creatures?
I don't know for sure, but it makes the most sense from what we know.
Do you suppose the Dyson sphere is a giant laboratory?
Meta asked.
Did the builders make it and turn it into a zoo?
That's an interesting idea, Maddox said. What leads you to that conclusion?
That it's so empty, she said. If the builders had made it to live in for themselves, why doesn't the place abound with them?
That's assuming the builders made this place, Riker said.
True,
Meta said. Maddox thought about that. It was as reasonable a hypothesis as any. He found a steeper section of slope, but kept going as the ferns lessened ahead. With a burst of speed that left the captain panting, he reached the very top of a large mountain. He leaned against a lone fern, looking over a vast panorama of mountain slopes with fern forests. The mountains and ferns went on for kilometers, while farther away, Maddox slipped off the Kislak using the scope. He lowered the rifle and fiddled with the scope settings.
What are you doing, sir? Riker asked.
Setting it for maximum magnification.
The captain raised the rifle again. The scene leaped into view. There was a distant valley that lacked ferns. Instead, strange-shaped mounds of dirt towered there. He spied red, purple, and green, and movement.
Swarm creatures, Maddox whispered.
What do you see, sir?
I found a nest, I suppose.
A swarm nest? Meta asked.
Yes.
Look in the opposite direction.
Maddox lowered the rifle, glancing at Meta. He swiveled in the opposite direction and raised the Kislak. He scanned distant slopes. He swept the area back and forth.
I don't like this, Riker said. A Dyson sphere filled with bugs? We should have listened to Ludendorff.
To the android, Meta corrected.
Interesting, Maddox said.
What did you find, sir? Riker asked.
It looks like a bulldozer, Maddox said.
Yes.
It's knocking down ferns with a bulldozer type of vehicle.
Are bugs driving it?
The sergeant asked.
I'm looking for... Aha, Maddox said.
I see the driver. It isn't a bug, as you say, Sergeant.
Well,
Riker said.
Don't keep us in the dark, sir. What have you found?
Humans,
Maddox said.
I have found humans on the Dyson sphere, and I don't think they're Port Admiral Hayes's people.
Why is that, sir? Riker asked.
They're the wrong color, for one thing, Maddox said. For another, they're much too small.
This is curious. The captain lowered the Kislak.
We have a choice. Do we return to the service entrance and find the android, or do we hike out there to talk to humans who possibly can't speak our language?
Riker sat down, picking up moss and tossing it onto the ground. He looked up.
I don't like the idea of hiking anywhere with the possibility of meeting with more swarm creatures.
Reasonable, Maddox said.
I'd like to meet these people,
Meta said.
It strikes me that the android didn't want us to. That makes me doubly interested in talking to them.
Yes, Maddox said. I feel the same way.
Therefore, let's get started. I want to reach these people before any of the swarm creatures reach us.
Chapter 40. The route proved exhausting, as there were no trails, and the ferns made it difficult to scout ahead. Nor could they climb the ferns to get a better look, as the plants were too weak to hold them. Maddox often led them around steep areas, lest they tumble down the mountain. At times, they came upon sheer rock faces that not even the captain could have scaled. That took even more time detouring. After several hours of hard going, Maddox began taking longer breaks, allowing the sergeant to rest more. Eventually, Meta and he took turns helping Riker.
At this rate, it will take days to reach the bulldozer,
Meta said at one stop. Maddox sat against a fern, having grown thoughtful. He studied Meta, asking, Have you seen any insects? I mean, small ones like grasshoppers and flies, not the swarm bugs.
Meta frowned before shaking her head.
Sergeant, how about you?
Riker was sprawled on the ground in his EVA suit with his eyes closed.
No little bugs, sir, the sergeant muttered. Just sweat in my eyes.
Everything was new in the beginning, Maddox said quietly. The Dyson Sphere was exciting enough for us, the very fact of its being. I've been thinking, though. There should be animal paths, something to indicate wild creatures. We've seen nothing to indicate animals or insects. That suggests the Dyson Sphere is devoid of lower life forms.
You're right, Meta said. There aren't any birds or bird-like creatures either.
How do the swarm creatures and humans survive? The captain said. What do they eat?
He shrugged.
How does the ecosystem maintain itself without insects? There's something else, Meta said, interrupting.
Maddox raised his eyebrows.
I haven't seen any sickly ferns or any rotting ones on the ground.
There were the brittle bones, Riker said from where he lay.
Yes, Maddox said, which highlights Meta's point. We haven't come across anything else decomposing. No exoskeletons, no fallen ferns, animal bones, nothing.
What would explain that? Meta asked.
Maddox shook his head before studying the ferns.
I should have seen it earlier,
he said shortly.
Notice, there are no small ferns. All of them are full grown.
Meta examined the nearest ones and then those farther out.
You're right. Is this a park?
A groomed forest?
Maddox asked.
Meta nodded.
It would appear so, the captain said.
The question becomes, who grooms it? The humans used a bulldozer and the swarm built dirt towers, Meta said. I doubt either of them grooms the park.
A reasonable assumption, Maddox said thoughtfully. Riker sat up.
We're making a mistake, sir. We should head back to the service hatch.
He waved an arm.
This is detouring from what we came to do. We have to leave the Dyson Sphere, not learn how it operates inside. How does marching out here help us free victory?
The android didn't want us to see this, Maddox said.
That suggests we should see it, so we know what's going on.
Are the little humans running the bulldozer going to help us get off the sphere?
Riker asked.
I suspect you're right. They're not going to aid us.
Well, the swarm will kill us if they catch us, Riker said. This trek is just adding extra risk we don't need.
Maddox climbed to his feet. You may be right, but I still want to see these humans. We should continue hiking if we're going to reach them sooner rather than later.
Riker groaned as he stood.
There's another thing to think about, sir. What if the little humans believe we're aliens, demons, or something equally terrifying to them? We may be walking to our deaths.
Maddox stared into the sky. Did the sergeant have a point? He thirsted to understand the situation on the sphere, but that wasn't germane to the wider war. They had to break free of the sphere and find a way back home. That was the ultimate goal. But the sphere, the android, the Shanghai androids, the AI box with Ludendorff's engrams, and the saucer ship... It seemed reasonable the builders had fashioned the Dyson Sphere.
That meant...
What are you thinking?
Meta asked.
You look so solemn.
Maddox regarded her. Abruptly, he sat back down, brought up his knees and wrapped his arms around them.
The extent of the situation. The Builder Pyramid in the Mid-Atlantic on Earth. The Dana android during the journey here. The possibility more androids had replaced various people on Earth.
What's that?
Riker asked as he stared into the sky. Maddox heard a humming noise. He jumped up, looking around.
Over there,
Meta said, pointing. Maddox saw a saucer skimming a mountain, heading toward them. It came fast, the hum increasing volume. The inner saucer was a glowing bulb with a disk spinning around it.
What now, sir? Riker asked. Do we run? No. Should we shoot it? The sergeant asked.
Maddox silently debated the idea. The craft had begun slowing down, although the disc continued to spin just as fast around the glowing bulb part. The craft appeared to be 10 times as large as a Star Watch shuttle. Bullets weren't going to stop it.
What if it's a swarm craft? Riker asked.
Maddox shouldered his rifle. I doubt it is. If the swarm ran it, why did the creatures earlier use claw and spit against the robot? They would have used weapons. No, this saucer must belong to whoever runs the sphere.
I hope you're right, sir, Riker said.
In another few seconds, the strange humming craft hovered 50 meters above them. A slot opened in the bottom glowing part, and a beam shot down at them. Maddox didn't feel any pain. Then Riker shouted in alarm. The captain glanced at the man, seeing Riker's feet lift off the ground. At the same time, a feeling of weightlessness came over the captain. As the beam continued to shine on them, Maddox, Meta, and Riker began to float toward the saucer. The captain spied the sergeant. The man shouted, but Maddox couldn't hear anything. The beam